Well, good evening. I'm grateful to be with you all day today, and I really appreciate the gift of time, being able to be with you in multiple settings today. That allows us to share our heart and get things across. One of the things that I really struggle with is just having a little brief time in a service. That's like, not enough time to just be able to get to know you, reacquainted. And so thank you for all day today. Really enjoyed Sunday school, being able to share Puk's testimony with you all. And I'm glad for all the encouraging comments I received from you, being encouraged by him. I would encourage you to keep praying for him if the Lord brings him to mind. It was a real blessing to be in junior church today. Got to talk to the kids about idolatry. And I just love talking to kids about idolatry and comparing idols to the true and living God. And it's amazing how smart kids are. If you'll take the time to ask them questions and wait for their answers, it's amazing how much they can know. Even kids that weren't raised in church and are just, you know, coming in. So I really enjoyed that. That was a privilege this morning. And now I get to give a report to you. And before I do that, just wanted to say, praise the Lord for some of you might recall that I've had some very serious autoimmune issues in the past. I still have autoimmune issues, but in the last several years, things have been a lot better for me. I've been through some really dark valleys with that, and God has given grace, so that's I'm doing much better. Praise the Lord. And wanted to say also that this has been an extremely full last 4 or 5 years of ministry, and so I want to convey to you God's kindness, God's goodness to us as a family, and giving us the privileges to serve him the way that he has allowed us to do so. So I want to be able to share that with you now. So God has privileged us with serving in Cambodia now, being involved in church planting since 2000. Well, my computer didn't want to forward, and neither did this, both at the same time. Cambodia lies in that 1040 window that I know that you've all heard about, that section of the world where most of the unreached and least reached peoples of the world live today. And you see Cambodia there on the map. Cambodia is one of Asia's Buddhist countries. It has been our joy to be a part of the advance of the gospel among Cambodia's Buddhists. And in the Buddhist world, there are different denominations. And the most conservative of those Buddhist traditions, where Buddhism affects your daily life and is extremely prominent in the culture, that's the kind of Buddhism that's in Cambodia. So you will see in some of the slides pictures here, but idolatry is everywhere, completely embedded in everything that happens in the Cambodian culture, like it is also in Thailand, Laos, and some other places. Here is a map of Cambodia, whose size would be about that of the American state of Missouri or Oklahoma. So a little bigger than Illinois, but not a whole lot bigger. And we have served Christ in 4 different provinces in Cambodia during our time in Cambodia, but especially in the one that's in the red circle here of Po Sat. God has multiplied the facets of our ministry during the time of service from 2019 to the present in such a way that we find it challenging to give a report. The Apostle Paul had a much greater challenge when he returned to Antioch with Barnabas to tell the story of the acts of the Holy Spirit during their journeys. We are no Paul and Barnabas, but as Luke described their reports to the church there, in this passage in Acts 14, it says, Paul and Barnabas returned from where they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. And now he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Acts 14, So that is what we seek to do with you now. I'll get the clicking down here. 2019 marks the year that we began full swing with member care for about 50 to 60 adult missionaries. So with GFA, serving in Asia, Australia, and the Pacific countries with GFA. So wherever our missionaries serve, on the continent of Asia, in the Pacific Ocean, or Australia, the islands there, we've been doing member care, helping to shepherd and administrate over all those different missionaries on that side of the world. While doing that, we've also continued working with our missionary team in Poh Sot, Cambodia. And here's a picture of the men that we've worked with in Poh Sot at a wedding. So that's the reason for all the flowers in the background there. There we go. The Carlisles, who are on the left, are now serving with Bibles International, so they're not in Cambodia anymore. But now we serve the Lord with the Waldock family. We're very grateful for being able to work with them. And as we look back over these 5 years, we see that God has done three main things with us in each facet of our calling: encouraging, equipping, and evangelizing. Our goal, in member care for our missionaries is to be a practical and spiritual support for them, helping them to fulfill the Great Commission effectively and to stay the course. That's a major part of our ministry, helping them to serve effectively and helping them to stay at it. Cross-cultural gospel workers carry the treasure of the gospel to needy peoples, but they do so in a position of weakness. The Apostle Paul calls all gospel servants earthen vessels in 2 Corinthians 4:7. And missionaries face intense trials and times of temptation. And sadly, this sometimes leads to some missionaries having to leave the field for unfortunate reasons. And no doubt among the missionaries that you have supported here as a church, some have had to leave the field. Unnecessary missionary attrition leaving the field is a grief to all of us, sending churches and to the missionaries. So our member care ministry seeks to be a preventative measure. And so on behalf of the local churches that send the missionaries, GFA helps come in. And with all of the experience with missions and being missionaries ourselves, we come in and seek to help encourage the missionaries that God has allowed us to serve. So, what exactly do we do to help? We communicate regularly with our missionaries, seeking to encourage, keeping aware of the spiritual and physical needs that they have, which are many, and providing good accountability for them. We seek to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, as Galatians 6:1 tells us. I think if I maybe pull my nose or stand a certain way, there we go. We ask them the important questions that we know need to be asked to those who are doing gospel work on the front lines of the battle. Being real with them about things that could not be published in prayer letters or social media. Being missionaries ourselves for a long time and knowing lots of missionaries, God has given us a lot of discernment and insight with what to talk to missionaries about. And that has proved to be a very important aspect of our ministry. We visit the country of service and we get to know them in person along with their co-workers in ministry. And in these pictures, we have missionaries serving in Thailand and in Australia. We get to know their families, too, which is becoming more enjoyable for us as we get closer to the grandparenting stage. We're not there yet, but everybody's a grandparent just keeps telling us over and over again that we're going to love this, you know, better than being parents. But we don't have any married children yet. We're getting there. We're getting there. We get to know their people, the culture that they serve in. This is crucial for us to be able to relate, to enter into their joys and griefs, and to give appropriate counsel to them. You know, I have every app on my phone that you can think of just about, because missionaries serving in all these different countries have all different apps, and they're messaging, and I'm receiving calls from them and communicating with them on all these different avenues on a regular basis. We pray for them and we pray with them. We offer a listening ear and give counsel as fellow cross-cultural missionaries. It is our hope that we can be like Barnabas, a missionary himself who is also known among the brethren for being a son of encouragement. So that is a huge aspect of what we do with GFA. We readily act as a sounding board for ideas and strategies to make disciples. We also enjoy many opportunities to serve alongside of our missionaries. It's a special joy when our kids have been able to join us and be a part of encouraging children and young people on the field. You know, some of these countries are really close to Cambodia, and it's really cheap, you know, to bring our kids over since we're already over there. So some of it's Thailand next door. We just crossed the border. Vietnam's on the other side. Just crossed the border. And our kids have been able to go with us on some of these to encourage people as well. Although we minister primarily to our missionaries, they often plug us in while we were there, whether it be in a medical clinic. We can tell stories, but I won't right now. Bible college, home Bible study, or just making a visit. And as we experience ministry with them, we are able to remind them of the immense privileges that they have, encouraging them in their opportunities to serve Christ. We spend a lot of time talking with each one and walking alongside them in their daily life and ministry routines, sharing stories and laughter. The burdens that they carry. The burdens they carry can be quite heavy. New missionaries learning difficult languages, adapting to radically different cultures, raising children in a foreign country, dealing with the misunderstandings with nationals or conflicts on their own team. What about the slow fruitfulness in ministry or spiritual oppression, physical illness that just bombards the entire family for months without end, or weariness, caring for aged parents back home? What do you do? My parents are getting older and they're in the hospital. You know, like, how often do I go home? And, you know, when do I go take care of my parents if there's nobody else for them? What about retirement? You know, we're working with missionaries right now that, you know, the wife just found out she had cancer. Do I continue to stay on the field or not? You know, do I seek care on the culture in the culture where we're at serving, or do we leave? You know, the children in the States are wondering, how do we help our parents who are missionaries who are about to retire, and counseling with them as well? Lots of communication, lots of questions. Because missionaries are people just like you and me, right? So they have all these things to work with. They just have the added complexity of doing all of this in another culture, usually far away. You have violence and political upheaval, corruption, apathy in their community that can weigh them down. They get to share the load, point them to Christ, and then resources within the body of Christ. We are grateful that the Lord has allowed the privilege of serving His servants scattered throughout our region. We also do the work of encouraging when we're at home in Cambodia, as we visit with members of Inheritance in Christ Church and we participate in their lives. This last term was punctuated by Cambodia's own trials over the COVID pandemic. We had a beautiful Christian wedding of two faithful believers, Viesna and Srei Ching. which was a celebration of Christ's love for our whole church family and a tremendous opportunity to bear witness for Christ in the Posat City community. Christian weddings, even though this is a very Cambodian wedding in style, it is radically different from a Buddhist Cambodian wedding. And it's a wonderful opportunity to preach the gospel. We experienced two funerals. One, the tragic loss of three-year-old Isak, son of the former deacon Puk and his wife Pram. The other was the husband of faithful Sway Po. While times of real grief, they were times for the gospel of Christ to shine for all to see. You know, these funerals and weddings in Cambodia, they are public. They put out big speakers and put out sound systems and microphones, and they blast music during weddings and funerals for the entire area to hear. If it's a normal one, it's Buddhist, and so the monks are chanting and the lay Buddhist preachers are giving their instructions and their homilies over the microphones. But if it's a Christian one, we get to have Christian hymns and songs, and we get to give the gospel and talk about God and the hope of the resurrection and our hope in death and all of these things over the microphones throughout the whole area. And the believers know how important this is for the gospel. And so even though sometimes it's a time of great grief, like a funeral, they also know this is a time for the gospel. And so we praise the Lord for that. Team meetings are a key way we contribute to the Posat ministry, talking and praying through things with our co-workers, Nathan and Rachel Waldock. Nathan now pastors the church there while we pray together for five things. Things which are impossible with men that are possible with God, as Jesus says in Luke 18. We're praying for middle and upper class Cambodians to come to Christ. In our city of Posat, almost all of the believers are the lowest economic bracket of people in the city. And due to that reality and some other things, when you're witnessing to someone who's middle class, they work for the government, they're a small business owner, you know, and you're talking to them, you'll often hear them say things like, well, I don't need Christianity because I'm not poor. Well, what they mean by that is that the only Christians they've ever met or heard about were the very poor people. Now, do we care whether or not a person is rich or poor? Absolutely not. But for the testimony of Christ in the gospel in Posat City, it is crucial that the day comes when people who are in the middle and upper classes of that city can see, point to someone who's a believer in Jesus Christ that actually is a professional or someone who's in the government or a school teacher that has a testimony for Christ in that Buddhist context. And that's what we're praying for. We're also praying for 10 core families. We have three couples at present where both the husband and the wife are following Christ in the church. We're praying that God would give us 10. If we had 10 in Posat City, that would be like a mega revival. Like that doesn't occur, right, in the Buddhist. I mean, to have 10 families like that, both the husband and the wife believing. So that's what we're praying for, that God would give us 10. And we have 3 right now. We're also praying for a Cambodian pastor to take over the church there in Posat. We have one man who has begun studying the Bible in an institute-type fashion, and he's burdened for ministry, and he's started to speak some in church now, and we have hopes that the Lord might raise him up to be the pastor of the church in the future. There's another man also studying the Bible in a different way other than normal services. We have a teenage young man who's also taking classes online, believe it or not, and he lives in a village in a remote area. So we've got men who are starting to study the scriptures because they want the word. So we praise the Lord for that. We're praying for a pastor. We're praying that the Lord would give us 12 qualified men, people who can be elders in churches. We're praying for 12 men like that. And we're praying for three churches, not just one in Post Dot City, but three, so that they can have a fellowship of churches in our province. So these are pretty aggressive goals for us there in Post Dot, but this is what our team is praying for, and we believe that the Lord can do this, and this is what we're praying for and laboring for. Go. Our daughter Savannah has joined our team there in Post Dot. She's been there just over a year, and her primary burden is with evangelistic outreach, especially to children and to young women, as she herself is a single young lady. That's where her focus is, and she's also burdened for Sunday school materials in the Cambodian language that are appropriate for local churches to use. And so she's begun to start writing curriculum that way as well. Encouragement has also been the key ministry in our family as we've sent our two boys off to college during this term. Our son Micaiah has a semester left. Elijah slugged through a year and with seizures and migraines wasn't able to keep up and dropped out of school. And you may have read our last prayer letter to know that Jennifer came back about a month ago or so to help Elijah come out of a very deep, serious health valley he was in. And he was very despondent and in despair, having dropped out of college and wondering about his future. And the Lord has turned him around during this month and has given him lifestyle skills and knowing how to eat and what to do and things to bring down, because he now has autoimmune issues as well as migraines and seizure issues that he's had. So that's been a burden for us, Jennifer and I. But Jennifer has been greatly used of the Lord during this time to help him. So he's turned around, and believe it or not, he started working for a roofing company. This same child, this same young man, 19, who was basically bedridden for with so many problems, is now, just a number of weeks later, now working on roofs. Or do you say roofs here? Yeah, so praise the Lord for that. So we also, during this time, said our earthly goodbyes to Jennifer's dad, who went home to be with Christ and have had opportunity to be a lot of help to her mother. And so we share a home now. Our residence is in South Carolina with her mom now. No longer residents of Illinois. I turned 51 this year, a milestone which marks 24 years in Cambodia. My family can no longer fit on a moped, like you see in this picture there. We could all do that. We could actually go down the street like that. Good. That means turning 51. Means that equipping the next generation is dearer to our hearts. So equipping has begun to be a part of our regular ministry. So with GFA, there we go. As much of our world screeched to a halt in 2020, GFA's leadership, of which I am a part, was able to spend many hours in prayer and discussion, resulting in a number of new or improved ways to equip those the Lord of the harvest is still sending forth. The commissioned blog was established to be a trusted resource about missionary articles on missions. So the Lord allowed me to help start that blog, and I write for that sometimes. During COVID, we had live virtual roundtables where we were meeting several Saturdays per year, bringing in people who were interested in missions and having panel discussions with missionaries on different topics. So that's something that we started doing. Missionary advanced training retreats every January present a core of curriculum where we help train GFA's missionaries, preparing them to go to the field. As well as those who are strongly considering missions, they come in and listen as well. And so every year, as a part of our regional director ministry, even though we live in Cambodia, We end up coming to the States for about 2 weeks at a time, January and August, for these training things. And this one's called the Missionary Advance in January. So we're very grateful for the opportunity to be a part of training missionaries to be effective gospel servants. It's a real joy to be able to have this ministry with them. GFA family camps usually happen in August, and in about 2 weeks we'll be at another one of those. And this is the family camp. All the missionaries with GFA that are in the country at the time, they all converge on the wilds usually in North Carolina. And we have a really big conference where we try to encourage the missionaries. There's a lot of preaching and prayer times and activities and just time to have fellowship. And the missionaries absolutely enjoy and love this time together. It's a real privilege to be a part of that. So we really enjoy getting to know the missionaries, not just in our region, but others, and spend time in prayer with them. Here we go. We helped with missionary kid camps in both Cambodia and Thailand, which have proven to be a huge encouragement in the lives of missionary kids. And so my brother-in-law, Matt Jones, started these camps in Thailand, and we've worked with him with these. And so these camps have been a huge blessing to missionary kids. There's nothing like a camp that's full of MKs, missionary kids. They all understand each other. So it's a very interesting time. We also helped teach for an MK transition seminar in Thailand for older missionary kids that were about ready to go back to their home countries to help them as they transition in that big moment in their lives. I've also been contributing to a blog called Rooted Thinking. So usually every month there's been an article or two from me on that blog. I really appreciate writing, but I have to really keep that. I can't write too much. I've got to stay within my limits of how often I will write, but I really enjoy writing, so I'm a part of writing for that blog. And also, a Korean missionary friend translated my book called Pioneer Missions, Meet the Challenges, Share the Blessings into Korean. This led to an invitation to teach through the book in a conference for Korean missionaries serving in Cambodia. What an amazing thing to have this missionary brother who's Korean translated the book on his own time. And volunteered to do that. He translated it, published it through his missions organization, and then asked me to teach that to a group of Korean missionaries serving in Cambodia. Never would have saw that one coming, but praise the Lord for that opportunity. Also, the Lord gave opportunities to teach for a church camp and then later also a missions conference in Singapore. Singapore is English-speaking and not far from Cambodia, and so the Lord has given us ministry in one of the churches there. So we praise the Lord for that. Evangelizing. Perhaps the greatest way that we contribute to ongoing efforts to reach Cambodians is through evangelistic encounters. This is our rural city of Posat. The Posat River runs right through the city. Posat's population is about 50,000. I believe Taylorville is about 11,000 or so, 12,000. This city cannot possibly have 100 Christians in it. If I very generously say there's 100 believers in Jesus Christ in the city, then that would mean that there would be 0.002% Christians in our city. That's unbelievable. Every time we go out our door, there are almost no believers in Jesus Christ anywhere in our life there in Posat. Praise the Lord for those that have come to Christ. But the need is just absolutely profound. Pastor said, should more missionaries be sent to Cambodia? Do you have any young people that are burdened for missions and want to consider an internship? Send them to Cambodia. We'll take them. Bring them. Pray for us. People say, what should we pray for you about? Give us some prayer requests. And my response usually is, I know this sounds trite, but we need people to get saved. I mean, think about that. 50,000 people in our city. There's probably, I would guess, 40, 50 believers in the city. It is real spiritual darkness. It is a serious pioneer mission field. And we praise the Lord for allowing us to be there and to continue to preach Christ there and be on the ground there. I'm very grateful that we can serve with GFA as well and to serve the missionaries in our region from Cambodia. And leave from my pagan background in Posat, Cambodia, to go to where they're serving. And missionaries really appreciate that as well. Our travel schedule makes it hard to have regular weekly church ministries ongoing. But the Lord uses our continual burden for the people there, especially in the realm of evangelism. And that is our heart's burden, our main burden. Our son Elijah helped me record 9 evangelistic videos, 7 of which are Creation to Christ series, focused on teaching Cambodian Buddhists through the main gospel truths. So we're using those videos on social media. Cambodians, everybody's on Facebook. COVID put everybody on the internet in Cambodia. So now everybody is on Facebook and Telegram, which is an app that's very popular in Cambodia now. And so we're putting sermons, sermon clips, evangelistic things on there, and more people are accessing those. And we're very grateful that we have that outlet for ministry. People say, do you really speak Cambodian? So I'm going to give you a clip of me speaking in Cambodian. This is an evangelistic video tract, which is appealing to small business owners in Posat City. Which is playing on my computer, but I'm not supposed to push it here. He's supposed to push it up there.
ត្រឹមសួរអស់ទាំងលោកអ្នកហើយបងប្អូនទាំងឡាយដែលបានចូលរួមស្ដាប់វីដេអូរបស់យើងខ្ញុំនៅថ្ងៃនេះប្រធានបទនៃវីដេអូនេះថ្ងៃនេះគឺដំណឹងល្អសម្រាប់អ្នករកស៊ីអ្នករកស៊ីគឺអ្នកលក់អ្នកលក់ដូរអ្នកជំនួញនិងអ្នករកស៊ីតាមសេវាកម្មផ្សេងៗបាទវីដេអូនេះជាពិសេសសម្រាប់អ្នកនោះឯង
Okay, that's good enough. So that's the Cambodian language. And we praise the Lord for giving us facility in that language. We're relatively fluent in Khmer. And we praise the Lord for that. We did a reprint of the tract, Why Do All Men Seek Peace and Prosperity? Which we've been using heavily as well. We now put QR codes in the back of tracks, directing people to evangelistic videos online. So, like I said, COVID has just put everybody on online. And it's amazing now how important online avenues for ministry are. And we're glad for that. We continue to witness to our many Buddhist friends and acquaintances that we have made in Posat. And in these pictures are a couple of men that we've witnessed to many times. This man... In this picture with me here, I'm in the foreground and he's in the background. Tun, he's had polio and he's been handicapped most of his life as a man. And he knows the gospel. He believes it's true. He knows he needs Christ, but he's a dependent on his Buddhist family members for his daily living. And his children are not Christians. They're also Buddhists. And he's afraid that if he repents, he follows Christ and is baptized, that his family members won't support him financially anymore. So he will not follow Christ actively. He won't take the step. And that's where he's at. I've pled with this man. I've wept with this man. I've visited numerous times. He's my friend. But he has to love Jesus more. He has to be willing to step out in faith and repent, even if he loses his financial security. We blanketed one large market with these tracts. We've had many other opportunities to get these in the hands of people as well. We just moved into a new neighborhood in Posat and have a bunch of new contacts as well that we're trying to get to know. Because of various resources, the Lord has allowed us to publish. I was given the opportunity to teach an all-day conference on evangelism for Cambodian believers in the capital city of Phnom Penh. One major emphasis of this conference was the need to preach the gospel beginning with Genesis 1:1. If people don't know who God is, they cannot understand sin or their need to be made right with God through Jesus Christ. The cross has no meaning without the knowledge of who God is and what sin is. So I urge Cambodians to spend plenty of time on Genesis 1 through 3 when they're talking to people about Christ. Please pray with us as we seek to bring people to Jesus Christ in Posat. The gospel seed has been scattered. We have been witnessing. We've been speaking. We've been living. We have many friends and acquaintances. Others have labored. It is time to reap. We need to see the Lord give life. And so pray that God would work through us. This is little Isak's funeral procession. In some ways, these 5 years have been very difficult. We've watched our small Cambodian congregation suffer with the death of little Isak, the falling away of Puk's wife, Pram. We took on a new ministry. We had children leave the nest. We lost a parent, all while going through the COVID years with its many uncertainties and trials. We also had 16 missionaries leave from three different fields as a direct or indirect result of the pandemic. None of these were because of sin issues, and all of them have gone on to serve Christ in other places and in different capacities. Still, these are very hard things, which we cannot deny, but we can testify that God's grace has been enough. His church in Posat has continued to be purified and to carry out his new commandment to love one another. And a vision for the future remains strong among his people there. The church sang Amazing Grace at little Isak's funeral, which is what I'd like for you to listen to now. You can play that. Thank you for what you have done to give and to pray to allow us to bring the hope of Christ to Cambodians and to encourage gospel servants all throughout our region. There are now some in Posat who, instead of dying in their sins without hope and without God, now graduate into the riches of their inheritance in Christ Jesus because we are there. And we give much praise to God for our privilege. With Paul and his letter to the Philippians, we can say that as his circumstances resulted in wider influence for the gospel, so have ours. The things which happened unto us have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Well, that took a while. And the reason why it took so long is because it was so full. And I could have added things that I didn't. It's been just such a full last 5 years. And we give praise to the Lord for that. Does anyone have any questions for me about what you just saw or heard? Yes. We are technically illegal, but the government allows us to get business visas. So actually, the Ministry of Religion itself told our group of missionaries to get business visas because they don't want there to be a category for missionary visas or religious visas. And so they've just allowed us to be there in Cambodia that way all this time, which is amazing. It's one of the most open places that you can serve in all of Asia as a result. So, yes, sir.
You said your daughter was helping out in Cambodia. Is she fully supported? Or?
She is. So she's been on the field now as a fully supported missionary for about a year. And she really struggled with becoming a missionary to Cambodia because she was struggling with, I want to go back home. Does that mean I can't go back and serve as a missionary there? And so she was struggling with, is God calling me back to Cambodia or is it just me naturally wanting to go back and live there? And so the Lord made things clear and she ended up going back. So she already speaks Khmer, the language. And so that's a huge, huge blessing to her. So. And she has a separate apartment away from us in town as well. So, yep. I have to confess, it's nice having my oldest daughter in town there in Posad. All right, any more questions? I went a long time on that report, and I hope that you thought that that was interesting, and I hope that it showed you God's grace being poured out on us. We're just so grateful. We're so glad that we could give this report and show you all these things. I mean, it's just amazing. I don't know that the next 5 years will look like this 5 years, but this 5 years has been something else. I want to encourage you to pray. You know, we take our prayer letters very seriously. If you don't get them or would like to get them, please sign up. We want you praying for us. We've had people praying for us that have been a huge blessing to our souls. And some of them, actually, many of those who have been our strongest prayer warriors in our ministry that we've known about have passed on. And we're praying for God to raise up more people who would give themselves to the ministry of prayer, especially older believers that are beginning to see the end is getting close and their prayers get more focused. And we want those kinds of people praying for us. There was a widow in California she was widowed in her 50s, and her husband was well-to-do. And she ended up devoting every day of her life, 3 hours every morning, to praying for her church and for missionaries. 3 hours. Every single day except Sunday. She did that all the way till she passed away. I mean, was she in her 70s or 80s? 80s. Her prayer life was such a blessing to missionaries that when she was ailing and living with her daughter in Ohio, that all the missionaries that I knew that knew her, we all routed our furloughs to make sure we stopped at her daughter's house in Ohio to talk to that woman and thank her and bless her for her ministry of prayer. Because that's how much missionaries care about this kind of prayer. Now, she was special, this woman, Dorothy Hallberg. Praise the Lord for her. He's gone on to glory. There was another man. He just started supporting us, and I didn't even know who he was. We were on furlough, and I saw his address and our support, and I'm like, I'm going to go find out who this man is. We're just going to look him up. And so on furlough, he's in North Carolina. And we had a meeting in the area, so we just looked him up, and we showed up at his house. And his yard, the grass, weeds everywhere. House looks very unkempt. Rusty car in the driveway. Wow. I'm thinking to myself, I know this person's older, but it's obvious that they don't have family that are watching out for them. This person's got some bad circumstances. His name was Ralph. I walk up to the door and knock on the door. And I can hear something going on in there, so I know he's home. Knocked on the door, waited. Nobody came. Knocked again. And finally, he opens the door. And he says, "Hello, can I help you?" And it's a much older man. He says, "Well, my name is Forrest McPhail." And he looks at me and says, "What are you doing here? Aren't you supposed to be in Cambodia?" And he invited me in, and I walk in the door, and he's got a hall that leads to the kitchen in the back of the house. Stacks of newspapers, you know, like this high off the ground, all the way to the kitchen. He invites me into his sitting room just inside the front door, and I walk in, and there's just stuff everywhere. And, you know, I'm putting two to two together and thinking, well, he's probably been alone for a while. And there's one spot open on his chair next to the lamp, and there's a Bible open. And he's listening to Christian radio, and he's spending time in prayer. He tells me, "I have prayed for you every single day." And I'm just, who am I to be on the receiving end of a man like this, his prayers, and every single day? And then he says to me, he says, "I'm supporting you every month, but I've got medical problems and my money's, you know, going down, and I'm going to just keep decreasing your support until I can't support you anymore." And I'm like, who am I to be on the receiving end of a man's love for Christ and love for missions to be so loving and thoughtful like that? A man in his circumstances. And to be praying for me every day. You know, when a missionary is told by, especially an older believer, "I pray for you every day." That is just. Your pastor, if he knows that you're praying for him every single day, that is gold. That is gold. And missionaries need that. And I hope and I pray that your church will have a number of people that have that kind of a heart for prayer, and that you pray for missionaries. And we would love to be on the receiving end of your prayers like that. So, closing prayer? Okay, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to you for believers in Jesus Christ that love you and believe in the power of prayer and give themselves to prayer. And we thank you, Lord, for people that pray for missionaries. Thank you, God, for every person that's ever prayed for Jennifer and myself. We're just weak vessels in need of grace, fighting sin, fighting our flesh every day of the week. And to know that these people have prayed for us, so many people have, and to meet some of these people who've prayed for us every day. And Lord, there are people in this church that are especially burdened for certain missionaries or ministries, and they pray for them regularly. Lord, I pray that you'd multiply believers in Christ like that. That there would be much prayer that goes up on behalf of your people who are serving all over the world. That you would use those prayers. Lord, we pray in faith. We know that you command us to pray. You tell us that Jesus Christ has opened the way of our access to God, to you, that in Jesus' name we can pray. You've commanded us to intercede, to pray for all men, because there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And you love all men and desire for them to repent and believe the truth. Lord, we don't understand prayer, but we know that you use it. And you want to work through it. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us, your people, to take advantage of this gift, this access that we have through Jesus Christ. Use the people of Grace Baptist Church to pray. Use their prayers. Help them to be a praying people. Help them to be an encouragement to missionaries that come through and who they partner with, to know that they are prayed for. May the pastors here know that they are prayed for continually. Hear their prayers. Bless them for their prayers. Lord, I thank you. I just showed all these different pictures. So much grace, so much kindness and goodness. Lord, we don't deserve these things. We don't deserve the prayers of your people, for people to give and to care. We thank you that you allow us to serve you. And thank you for blessing Jennifer and myself and my family and allowing us to serve you in Cambodia and among the missionaries that are serving throughout our region. We thank you that you let us participate in what you're doing in this world. Help us to value it for what it is, grace and goodness and kindness. Forgive us, Lord, for ever despising or taking for granted the privilege of being a co-laborer with you. So thank you for this time. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.